This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. A lot going on and around Oregon right now. One of the hot button topics is what's happening with the Oregon State Legislature. So we're going to check back in live from Salem today. State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for being on.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, we are on February 19th. What is the drop dead, if you will, definite ending of this short session? When does all this have to be done by?
We have 17 days to go, and if my calculation's right, I think that's March 8th, I believe. No, March 10th. That's what it is. Anyway, 17 more days to go, and the pace is fast and furious, and bills are, thank God, dying as quickly as they can.
So we're literally right in the middle of the 35-day session then. First thing we want to hit, because, of course, it's the one that everybody's asking about, the tax referendum bill. Is a decision been made yet on whether it moves to May or stays for November?
There hasn't been a decision made yet. As you know, yesterday the Senate took a pause. That was going to come up third reading on their Senate floor, and they decided to take a pause on it because, frankly, the Oregon people just don't want the bill. And I think that we're now down inside that window of, even though we're in the minority party, we can make adjustments to things by actually holding out, holding strong, and pushing things farther out. And I think they took that pause to give the House, give us a little bit of time to kind of strategize on how we're going to handle it if it does come over here. I believe it actually is going to be third read today on the Senate floor. It'll be voted on, and I'm sure it'll pass just based on it'll pass on party lines. So we will probably see a third read on the House floor on Monday, and I don't know that we will. I don't know what's going to happen Monday. Monday's up in the air. Monday will be one of those days where there's a lot of negotiating going on right now behind the scenes just to see how we're going to handle that bill on the House floor, if we handle that bill on the House floor.
Any Democrats moving in the direction of leaving it in November?
Frankly, I think the majority of Democrats would like to leave it alone, but they're under the threat of the majority party muscle that if they don't toe the line, so to speak, they will be primaried. And I'm sure you've probably been following some of the reports of the things that are happening in this building that are absolutely unprofessional. But the Democratic leadership in the building has been strong-arming their caucus to the point where, there's actually been one Rule 27 violation filed against one of their members now. They are demanding, and when I say they, this is coming down straight from the governor. The governor is the one that ultimately carries the stick, and she is demanding her party follow what she wants. And, being in a majority party, heavy is the crown. If you don't follow what they want you to do, then they will find a way to get rid of you.
And what kind of public comment are you getting as the session goes on from people in the district?
We're getting, the district comments have slowed down a little bit. I think right now a lot of folks are focused on the gun bills and a couple of other things. But the overwhelming comments, in fact, I all of the comments that I've gotten have been to move it to November and, do what's constitutionally right, move it to November. Now, we do have some potential area for a lawsuit if they try to change it. We're not sure that, we have our own attorney that's looking into whether or not moving it to May would even be constitutional, might be against the law. And we did send a letter to Tobias Reed, Secretary of State, that put them on notice. And it got their attention, which is why it had the President of the Senate, Rob Wagner, pulled the bill off he didn't hear it for a day so they could have some time to look into it. And I think it's still up in the air. I think we're playing a pretty nasty game of chess with really high stakes right now.
And as we get through that, what's the other, you mentioned gun bill, what's the big thing there?
Well, there was two gun bills this session, and there should have been none because the short session should be and it should always be used to balance budgets, and it should be used to fix laws that we pass that need attention. But of course, the majority party likes to throw things out there. A lot of times these bills, these really bad bills, are thrown out for leverage against us to be able to be used against us as something they might want to give in on to if you'll give them something. Our caucus, I've never seen our caucus more unified than it is right now, and I think that's all, a lot of that has to do with our leadership. Again, Lucetta Elmer, our caucus leader, has been, we've all held strong behind her. And we haven't given any. We haven't given an inch. In fact, yesterday we killed a House Bill 4098, which was a really bad bill for insurance companies that would have ended up putting them into the Unlawful Trade Practices Act and given us third party grounds to sue an insurance company, which would have raised the rates for the entire state. We fought that bill on the House floor. Literally, that was we only did two bills yesterday, and we fought that one all day long, and we were able to kill it on the House floor, and that was with the help of Democrats. So I think there is a portion of the Democrat Party that has finally realized that, hey, we're going down the wrong trail here. We need to back up, regroup, and remember what's good for, you know, the general public in Oregon. And I think that they've decided that I think the Democrat Party, supermajority right now, has a real problem within their own ranks, because people are starting to get the picture that people don't want these bad bills, and they don't want these bad laws, and they certainly don't want these taxes. So a lot of stuff's starting to die.
Now, you mentioned a Rule 27 issue. A lot of people probably don't know what that would be. Kind of explain more about the situation there.
Sure. So in the House, and I guess in the Senate as well, we have a conduct committee. So if you are accused of doing something that falls outside of what is acceptable conduct within the legislature, you can have Rule 27 you know, violations brought against you. And what that means basically is if House HR or Senate HR decide, actually it's legislative HR, decides to pursue it, they will investigate the accusation, and you will have to go in front of a conduct committee, and you know, which consists of two Republicans, two Democrats. There's been, you know, over the few years, there has been other folks that have gone in front of the committee, the worst of which, and the reason why the entire committee was started, was because of some of the things that Tina Kotek did when she was Speaker, and she had so many issues and so many lawsuits against her for basically making a hostile workplace and the abuse of power that the legislature decided to create this conduct committee. If you've been following what's going on social media, and what's probably, it's been televised and been in most newspapers now, there was a gun bill vote in committee, and I believe it was in judicial committee, and Representative Jason Croft, who's the chair of the committee, attacked one of his own Democrat, I don't remember if she was vice chair, but she was on the committee, and that's Tui Tran. And she had voted, you know, she gave a reason why she thought the bill was a bad bill, and she's absolutely correct. She voted no on the bill in committee, and he recessed the committee and took her out in the hall and yelled all kinds of nasty things, and she came back in crying and changed her vote. Now, I wasn't there. I didn't see what happened in the hall, but a lot of folks did. So a Rule 27 complaint was filed with one of our local gun advocates here in the building. He filed it against them. Now, so far as I've heard, the HR department, which is also unfortunately ran by the Democrats, has refused to hear the complaint. But I did see yesterday that Representative Tran did come out and say that there was a hostile work environment created by the actions of Representative Croft. So it's still up in the air, but it's a really bad look for the Democrats, and they basically forced that vote on the gun bill to get it out of committee and send it to the floor.
And what's kind of the reaction from other Democrats when they see this kind of thing happen?
I think right now within the legislative Democrat caucus, there is so much dissent happening just from what I see from the outside. Of course, I'm a Republican, so I don't go to the caucus meetings. But there's several of them are having a lot of issues with what is happening on the floor. And frankly, they've moved so far to the left, just like what happened in the United States over the last few years. They moved so far to the left that even the let's just call it the moderate Democrats, or the, you know, for instance, in Douglas County, we have a ton of Democrats that are just, you know, great people. I mean, they vote, you know, relatively conservative when it comes to finances. They may have their own beliefs and, you know, whatever it may be outside of, their own, you know, the major issues like abortion and gun control. But they generally, we all kind of have the same problems. Well, this particular legislature has gone so far to the left that they don't care anymore about what happens because they pass a tax bill or because they do something that ultimately will raise the cost of living in Oregon. And I think we're seeing that with our governor. She's pushing those agendas.
And going into the primary election here, not that far off, do you think any of this is going to have an impact on the primaries this year? Or is it going to be felt more in the general election?
I think we will see some of it. Yeah, potentially. I think we'll see it in swing districts for sure. I think safe red and safe blue districts, it won't have any effect on, you know, at all. We'll still end up with, you know, solid red and solid blue. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of strategic maneuvering going on in the background. And frankly, from what I've seen, when there has been absence, when somebody either has left their position on the Democrat Party, or unfortunately, like in Hua Wen's case, she passed away from cancer, the replacement was nowhere near moderate. The folks that chose a replacement chose a party that's so far left that they don't represent the people that they, you know, that they claim to represent. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I hope that the midterms go well for Republicans, but, it's hard to say.
State Representative Virgil Osborne with us. We're going to take a quick break. Back with more 90 Seconds, the interview of podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 and News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1. Back to Salem tomorrow with State Senator David Brock Smith in the House. State Representative Virgil Osborne with us right now talking about things going on in Salem. What are some of the other big items that are going on this week?
Well, there's a lot going on, Kyle, and then probably the next biggest item that's causing a lot of heartburn up here is Senate Bill 1507, which is the federal tax disconnect. I don't know if that's going to make it through or not, but it is certainly, and what that does, I should probably say that first. I guess that bill is the bill that disconnects Oregon from the federal tax break. So the Trump administration's big, beautiful bill just basically prolonged the original tax breaks that he gave, plus it added some more tax breaks and made them permanent. And that this is the bill that creates the tax break for no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, and also gives you the ability to write off the interest on your car loan, as well as a host of other issues. And the Oregon legislature is attempting to disconnect from that. So you will be taxed on your tips, you'll be taxed on your overtime, and you won't be able to write off your car interest rate. And there's other stuff that goes along with that, too. So they're hearing that Senate Bill 1507, and it's on the Senate side still. We haven't had it on the House side. There's a lot of pushback, and rightfully so. But the Oregon legislature, at least the majority party, feels that we don't want to lose that that tax revenue. So they're trying really hard to disconnect that so that they get to keep that tax revenue. I am adamantly against changing that, but we'll see what happens if it makes it over onto our side.
I understand there was a meeting today on the in the House Committee on Climate, Energy, and Environment. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so finally, we actually heard, it's not a bill yet, but it was a public hearing on something that made all the sense in the world and something I've been talking about for several years, even long before I ever made it into the legislature. But we had an organization come forward with a proposal that they've used in a few other states. And the proposal says, hey, we know we need more energy. We know we need it transmitted to other parts of the state. Why don't we use the right-of-way from the freeways and the highways, ODOT, basically. Let's make Interstate 5 an energy transmission highway as well. And I heard it. The organization came to my office yesterday and gave me kind of a heads up of what they wanted to talk about. And I told them, I said, you know, this is, of all of the nonsense that we've heard this session, this makes the most sense, more sense than anything I've ever heard. Now, you might know that in climate, energy, and environment, we that committee has been trying to pass a bill for the last two sessions that creates a transmission authority. And the transmission authority would be a committee that would actually have eminent domain rights. So they could literally they could dig a hole right through your backyard. They can go wherever they want, and you wouldn't get paid for it, and you won't have any say-so in it because it would be a state law that says they are able to do it. I've been fighting that for the last 2 years, and this organization came along and said, hey, here's a better idea, and I couldn't agree more. Now we just have to deal with ODOT. ODOT has to decide whether or not they want to allow this. And I made it a point in committee to let the legislature know, it's like, we are supposed to be in charge of ODOT. ODOT shouldn't be able to decide whether or not common sense is good. Unfortunately, ODOT is an agency that makes its own rules. So we'll see where that goes. I think that'll be a big fight in the long session. I think we're going to see some sparks coming from that, and not necessarily in a bad way.
Now, is this idea one that is taking place in other states?
Yeah, they gave us some examples. Minnesota was one of the states, and I believe Colorado was another state. You know, there's in both of those states, I think, have charged, they've basically sold the right-of-way, so they're paying a certain amount per mile. My fear and what I brought up in committee was, I think this is a great idea, but I also made the point to say that Oregon typically gets in its own way. When we have a good idea, we'll find a reason to turn it into a bad one. And what I said was, let's not make this just a green energy thoroughfare. Let's make this all energy thoroughfare. And, of course, the organization said, well, that's, atoms are atoms or photons are photons. And I said, no, in Oregon, if you want to do something that uses a lot of energy, we're probably going to force it to be green. And if it's not green, we're going to fine you for not doing it in perpetuity. So I said, we need to make sure as a committee that whether it's green energy or it's coming from a gas power plant or wherever it's coming from, it should be able to transmit down those lines. And this will be a super important part of their ultimate goal, which is to put everybody in electric cars and trucks. Now, I am all about green energy. I do not like the idea of making people switch to fully electric cars and trucks, but how are you going to get a semi-truck from one end of Oregon up I-5 if they don't have any way to charge the truck? So it's not something we'll see in our lifetime, I would expect, Kyle.
Now, I understand that earlier today the House passed something called the Recourse Act. What can you tell us about that?
The Recourse Act. I don't know that I've heard that called that. What bill number?
4143.
Yeah, 4143, I believe, just passed, and I actually was on my way back into my office on that. So it was a bill that was the trial attorneys, I believe, were sponsoring. I honestly don't have enough information on that to give you an intelligent answer. So I'm gonna pause and say I'm not there.
Well, we'll come back to that one another time. Other things that are ahead. What are the next 2 weeks? You think, what are they going to look like?
I think the next 2 weeks are going to be the shift of power starts to change when we get toward the end of session. Toward the end of session, the majority party realizes they have deadlines. They have to follow the rules. Thank God we have a constitution, because you cannot change the constitution on the fly. So they have to follow the rules of the session, and we have a sine die date, and they can't change that either. So I think what you're going to see, everything's starting to get compressed. You know, we started out with, around 300 bills, might have been a little bit more than that. And I think that that you're starting to see that narrow down to probably less than 100. And people are trying really hard to get them out of committee and through the House or through the Senate before they run out of time. In fact, tomorrow is the deadline for work session scheduled in the House. Either chamber, second chamber work deadline.
What about the legislation you've put out there? Where is it right now?
Yeah, I'm not super happy about that. The only real bill that I had that I was really pushing for was the K-Truck bill, and it had bipartisan support. It was a great bill, and so far, unless we can revive it from the Senate side, it has died, and it died due to the lack of response from the majority party. Again, the Transportation Committee is more concerned about finding a way to tax you than they are about finding a way to make your life easier. And ODOT, of course, always plays along with the major party side. So it's dead. We'll bring it back in a long session. Hopefully we can get it through then.
And given all the things that are ahead, I mean, constitutionally, legally, you've got to finish by that date. But if there are things that are still lingering out there, couldn't the governor then ask for a special session and essentially put you right back to work?
You know, it all comes down to politics. There would be some reasons to do that. I think right now the only thing lingering that would potentially have the threat of a special session would be the transportation referendum. And I think the that wouldn't happen because they'll run out of time. If that goes to the ballot, there are military members that are overseas that actually see their ballots a few weeks, if not a month, before we do. And they won't have time because we'll be into March. They have to print everything, they have to send it out, and they won't have time to do it. So I don't see a special session coming. The governor is extremely upset from time to time over some of her bills that haven't been, haven't made it through. But, that's politics, right? I mean, they can't beat us every time.
All right. Back soon to talk more with State Representative Virgil Osborne. A lot going on. Thanks for being on today.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.